వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సభప్రభా నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Hinilayam. And with me, Team Radio Sai, Sunil, welcoming you to this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. Today is the 7th of November 2019, and let me first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What is the surest way to experience God? What quality should we cultivate within ourselves to refine ourselves continuously? Bhagwan reminds us today, and I quote, "The effulgent sun can be seen only with his own light. Similarly, only through the grace of God can you obtain a vision of the divine. No skill, intellectual effort, or scholarship is required to experience God. Just as clouds may obscure the sun, the clouds of egoism, attachment, and hatred prevent one from seeing the divine. Prayer and sadhana are the means by which these clouds are dispersed. Sadhana is the royal road to reach the divine. The human makeup is a mixture of good and bad traits. One in whom the good traits predominate tend to see only the good in others. Those who have equal-mindedness see the good and bad qualities impartially. It is necessary, therefore, to cultivate good qualities. The world must be viewed as the reflected image of the divine. All acts must be done as an offering to the divine." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on February 11th, 1983. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 44 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Sri Krishna Das Eradi, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Ordeal of Guru Bhakti. Let us now see how the second cholera ordinance fared with Baba. While it was in force, somebody brought a goat to the masjid. It was weak, old and about to die. At this time, Fakir Pir Muhammad of Malegaon, alias Bade Baba, was nearby. Sai Baba asked him to behead it with one stroke and offer it as an oblation. This Bade Baba was much respected by Sai Baba. He always sat on the right side of Sai Baba. After the chillum was first smoked by him, it was then offered to Baba and the others. And when the dishes were served, at the time of taking meals at noon, Baba called Bade Baba and made him sit on his left side, and then all partook of food. Baba paid him daily 50 rupees out of the amount collected as dakshina. Baba accompanied him 100 steps whenever he went away from the masjid. Such was his position with Baba. But when Baba asked him to behead the goat, he flatly refused, saying, "Why should it be killed for nothing?" Then Baba asked Shama to kill it. He went to Radha Krishnamai and brought a knife from her and placed it before Baba. Knowing the purpose for which the knife was taken, she recalled it. Then Shama went to bring another knife, but stayed in the wada and did not return soon. Then came the turn of Kaka Sahib Dixit. He was gold, no doubt, but had to be tested. Baba asked him to get a knife and kill the goat. He went to the Sathewada and returned with a knife. He was ready to kill it at Baba's bidding. He was born in a pure Brahmin family and never in his life knew killing. Though quite averse to do any act of violence, still he made himself bold to kill the goat. All the people wondered to see that while Bade Baba, a Muslim, was unwilling to kill it, this Brahmin was making preparations to actually do so. He tightened his dhotar and, with a semicircular motion, raised his hand with the knife and looked at Baba for the final signal. Baba said, "What are you thinking of? Go on, strike!" Then, when the hand was just about to come down, Baba said, "Stop! How cruel you are! Being a Brahmin, you're killing a goat!" Kaka Sahib obeyed and kept the knife down and said to Baba, "Your word is law unto us. We do not know any other ordinance. We remember you always, meditate on your form and obey you day and night. We do not know or consider whether it is right or wrong to kill. We do not want to reason or discuss things, but implicit and prompt compliance with Guru's orders is our duty and dharma." Then Baba said to Kaka Sahib that he would himself do the offering and killing business. It was settled that the goat should be disposed of near a place called Takia, where fakirs used to sit. Then when the goat was being taken to that place, it fell dead on the way. Hemad Pant closes the chapter with a classification of disciples. He says they are of three kinds: first or best, second or average, and third or ordinary. The best kind of disciples are those who guess what their gurus want and immediately carry it out and serve them without waiting for an order from the guru. The average disciples are those who carry out the orders of their masters to a letter without any delay. And the third kind of disciples are those who go on postponing the carrying out of their order and make mistakes at every step. The disciples should have firm faith, backed up by intelligence. And if they add patience to these, their spiritual goal will not be distant. Control of breath, ingoing and outgoing, or Hatha Yoga or other difficult practices are not at all necessary. When the disciples get the above-mentioned qualities, they become ready for further instructions, and the masters then appear and lead them on in the spiritual path to perfection. In the next chapter, we deal with Baba's interesting wit and humor. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 24. Baba's Wit and Humor, Channa Leela. Hemad Pant, Sudama. Anna Chichanikar vs. Moshi Bai. Preliminary. Unless we surrender our ego to the feet of our Sadguru, we will not succeed in our undertaking. If we become egoless, then our success is assured. By worshipping Sai Baba, we attain both the objects, worldly and spiritual, and are fixed in our true nature and get peace and happiness. Therefore, those who want to accomplish or gain their welfare should respectfully hear Sai Baba's leelas or stories and meditate on them. If they do this, they will easily attain the object of their life and get bliss. Generally, all people like wit and humor, but they do not like that the jokes be made at their expense. But Baba's method was peculiar. When it was accompanied with good gestures, it was very interesting and instructive, and the people therefore did not mind, even if they were held up to the ridicule. Hemad Pant gives his own instance below. Chana Leela. In Shirdi, a special bazaar was held every Sunday, and people from the neighboring villages came there, erected booths and stalls in the open street, and sold their wares and commodities. Every noon the masjid was crowded, but on Sunday it was crowded to suffocation. On one such Sunday, Hemad Pant sat in front of Baba, shampooing his legs and muttering God's name. Shama was in Baba's left, Vaman Rao to his right, Sriman Bhuti and Kaka Sahib Dikshit and the others were also present there. Then Shama laughed and said to Anna Sahib, "See, some grains seem to have stuck to the sleeve of your coat." So saying, he touched the sleeve and found there were some grains. Hemad Pant straightened his left forearm to see what the matter was, and to the surprise of all, some grains of cram came rolling down and were picked up by the people who were sitting there. This incident furnished a subject matter for joke. Everybody present began to wonder and said something or the other as to how the grains found their way into the sleeve of the coat and lodged there so long. Hemad Pant also could not guess. When nobody could give any satisfactory explanation in this matter and everybody was wondering about this mystery, Baba said as follows. "This fellow," he meant Anna Sahib, "this fellow has got a bad habit of eating alone. Today is a bazaar day and he came here chewing grams. I know his habit and these grams are a proof of it. What wonder is there in this matter?" Hemad Pant replied, "Baba, I never know of eating things alone. Then why do you shoulder this bad habit on me? I have never yet seen Shirdi Bazaar. I never went to the bazaar today. Then how could I buy grams and how could I eat them if I had not brought them? I never eat anything unless I share it with the others present around me at the time of my meals." Baba said, "It is true that you give to the persons present, but if no one is nearby, what could you or I do? But do you remember me before eating? Am I not always with you? Then do you offer me anything before you eat?" Hemad Pant was silent. Moral. Let us remark and note carefully what Baba has taught us by this incident. He has advised us that before the senses, mind and intellect enjoy their objects, first he should be remembered. And if this be done, it is in a way by making an offering to him. The senses can never remain without their objects. But if those objects are first offered to the Guru, the attachment for them will naturally vanish. In this way, all the vrittis or subtle thoughts regarding desire, anger, avarice should first be offered and directed to the Guru. And if this practice be followed, the Lord will help you in eradicating all the vrittis. When before enjoyment of the objects, you think that Baba is present, the question whether the object is fit to be enjoyed or not will at once arise. Then the object that is not fit to be enjoyed will be shunned, and in this way our vicious habits or vices will disappear and our character will improve. Then love for the Guru will grow and pure knowledge will sprout up. When this knowledge grows, the bondage of body consciousness will snap and our intellect will be merged in spirit consciousness. Then we shall get bliss and contentment. There is no difference between Guru and the God. He who sees any difference in them finds God nowhere. So leaving aside all ideas of difference, we should regard Guru and God as one. And if we serve our Guru as stated above, God will certainly be pleased, and by purifying our minds will give us self-realization. To put the matter in a nutshell, we should not enjoy any object with our senses without first remembering our Guru. When the mind is trained in this way, we will always be reminded of Baba, and our meditation on Baba will grow apace. The Sagun form of Baba will ever be before our eyes, and then devotion, non-attachment and salvation will all be ours. When Baba's form is thus fixed before our mental vision, we forget hunger, thirst and this world. The consciousness of worldly pleasures will disappear, and our mind shall attain peace and happiness. Sudama's story. When the above story was being narrated, Hemad Pant was reminded of a similar story of Sudama, which illustrates the same principle, and therefore it's related here. Sri Krishna and his elder brother Balaram were living with a co-student named Sudama in the ashram of their guru Sandipani. Once, Krishna and Balaram were sent to the forest for bringing fuel. Then the wife of Sandipani sent Sudama also for the same purpose, with some quantity of grams for the three. When Krishna met Sudama in the forest, he said to him, "Dada, I want water as I am thirsty." Sudama replied, "No water should be drunk on an empty stomach, so it's better to rest for a while." Sudama, however, did not say he had got grams with him and that Krishna should take some. As Krishna was tired, he lay down for rest on the lap of Sudama and soon began snoring. On seeing this, Sudama quietly took out the grams and began to eat. Then Krishna suddenly asked him, "Dada, what are you eating? What is this chitter-chitter sound?" Sudama replied, "What is there to eat? I'm shivering with cold and my teeth are chattering. I can't even repeat Vishnu Sahasranama." Hearing this, the omniscient Krishna said, "I just had a dream in which I saw a man eating things of another. And when asked about this, he said, 'What dust should he eat?' Meaning thereby that he had nothing to eat." The other man said, "Let it be so. Dada, this is only a dream. I know you won't eat anything without me. Under the influence of the dream, I asked you what you were eating." If Sudama had known the omniscient Sri Krishna and his leelas, he would not have acted as he did. Therefore, he had to suffer for what he did. Though he was a chum of Sri Krishna, he had to pass his later life in utter poverty. But when he later offered Krishna a handful of parched rice earned by his wife with her own labor, Krishna was pleased and gave him a golden estate to enjoy. This story should be remembered by those who have the habit of eating things alone without partaking them with others. The Shruti also emphasizes this lesson and asks us to offer things first to God and then enjoy them after they are renounced by Him. Baba has also taught us the same lesson in His inimitable and humorous way. Anna Chichanikar vs. Moshi Bai. Hemad Pant now describes another witty incident in which Baba played a peacemaker's part. There was one devotee by name Damodar Ghanshyam Babare, alias Anna Chichanikar. He was simple, rustic and straightforward. He cared for nobody, always spoke plainly and carried all dealings in cash. Though he looked outwardly harsh and uncompromising, he was good-natured and guileless. So Sai Baba loved him dearly. One day, like others, serving Baba in their own way, this Anna was shampooing the left arm of Baba, which rested on the kathara. On the right side, one old widow named Benubai Kojalgi, whom Baba called Mother and all the others called Moshibai, was serving Baba in her own way. This Moshibai was an elderly woman of pure heart. She clasped the fingers of both her hands around the trunk of Baba and was at this time massaging Baba's abdomen. She did this so forcibly that Baba's back and abdomen became flat and Baba moved from side to side. Anna on the other side was steady, but Moshibai's face moved up and down with her strokes. Once it so happened that her face came very close to Anna's. Being of a witty disposition, she remarked, "Oh, this Anna is a lewd fellow. He He wants to kiss me. Even being so old with grey hair, he feels no shame in kissing me." These words enraged Anna, and he pulled up his sleeves and said, "You say that I am an old bad fellow? Am I quite a fool? It is you who has picked up a quarrel with me." All the persons present there were enjoying this encounter between them. Baba, who loved both of them equally and wanted to pacify them, managed the affair very skillfully. Lovingly he said, "Oh Anna, why are you unnecessarily raising this hue and cry? I do not understand what harm or impropriety is there when the mother is kissed." Hearing these words of Baba, both of them were satisfied, and all the persons laughed merrily and enjoyed Baba's wit to their heart's content. Baba's characteristics, his dependency on bhaktas. Baba allowed his devotees to serve him in their own way and did not like any other persons interfering in this. To quote an instance, the same Oshibai was, on another occasion, kneading Baba's abdomen. Seeing the force used by her, all other devotees felt nervous and anxious. They said, "Oh mother, be more considerate and moderate, otherwise you'll break Baba's arteries and nerves." At this, Baba got up at once from his seat and dashed his satka on the ground. He got enraged. His eyes became red like a live ember. None dared to stand before Baba. Then he took hold of one end of the satka with both hands and pressed it in the hollow of his abdomen. The other end he fixed to the post and began to press his abdomen against it. The satka, which was about 2 or 3 feet in length, seemed all ready to go into the abdomen, and the people feared the abdomen would be ruptured in a short time. The post was fixed and immovable, and Baba began to go closer and closer to it and clasped the post firmly. Every moment the rupture was expected, and they were all dismayed, did not know what to do, and stood dumb with wonder and fear. The other devotees wanted only to give a hint to the Moshibai to be moderate in his service and not cause any trouble or pain to Baba. They were surprised to see that their well-intentioned effort had resulted in this crisis, and they could do nothing but to wait and watch. Fortunately, Baba's rage soon cooled down. He left the satka and resumed his seat. From this time onward, the devotees took the lesson that they should not meddle with anybody, but allow him to serve Baba as he chooses, as he was capable to gauge the merits and worth of the service rendered unto him. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 25. Damu Anna Kasar of Ahmednagar. Speculations. Amralila. Preliminary. We begin this chapter with a prostration with all our 8 limbs to Sai Baba, who is an ocean of mercy, the God incarnate, the Parabrahma, and the great Yogeshwara. Victory be unto Sai Baba, who is the crest jewel of the saints, and abode of all auspicious things, our Atma Ram, and the sole refuge of the devotees. We prostrate ourselves before him, who has attained the aim and end of life. Sai Baba is always full of mercy. What is wanted on our part is wholehearted devotion to him. When a devotee has got firm faith and devotion, his wishes are soon fulfilled. When the desire arose in the mind of Hemad Pant to write the life and leelas of Sai Baba, he immediately got it written by him. When the order to keep the memos was given, Hemad Pant was inspired, and his intellect got strength and boldness to undertake and finish the work. He was not, as he says, qualified to write the work, but the gracious blessings of Baba enabled him to complete the undertaking, and thus you have this Satcharitra, which is a cistern or a Somkhand jewel from which nectar in the form of Sai Leelas oozes out for the readers to drink to their heart's content. Whenever a devotee had complete and wholehearted devotion to Sai Baba, all his calamities and dangers were warded off and his welfare attended to by Baba. The story of Damodar Anna Kasar of Ahmednagar, alias Damu Anna, illustrating the above statement is given below. Damu Anna. The readers are aware that a mention of this gentleman was made in the 6th chapter regarding the celebration of Ram Navami festival in Shirdi. He went to Shirdi about the year 1895 AD, when the Ram Navami Utsav celebration began, and since then he has been providing an ornamental flag for that occasion every year. He also feeds the poor and the fakirs who come there for the festival. His speculations. First, cotton trading. A Mumbai friend of Damu Anna wrote to him that they should do some cotton speculation business in partnership, which would bring them 2 lakhs of rupees as profit. The broker wrote that the business was good and involved no risks, and that the opportunity should not be lost. Damu Anna was vacillating. He could not decide whether to venture into the speculation. He thought over this, and as he was a devotee of Baba, he wrote a detailed letter to Shama, giving all the facts and requested him to consult Baba and take his advice in the matter. Shama got the letter next day, and when he went with it at noon to the masjid and placed it before Baba, he asked Shama what the matter was and what the letter was about. Shama replied that Damu Anna of Nagar wanted to consult him about something. Then Baba said, "What does he write and what does he plan? It seems he wants to reach the sky and he is not content with what God has given him. Read his letter." Shama then said, "The letter contains what you have just said. O Deva, you sit here calm and composed and agitate the devotees, and when they get restless, you draw them here, some in person and others through letters. If you knew the contents of the letter, why do you then ask me to read it?" Baba said, "O Shama, read it. I speak at random, and who believes me?" Then Shama read the letter, and Baba heard it attentively and said feelingly, "The Seth, Damu Anna, has gone mad. Write to him in reply that nothing is wanting in his house. Let him be content with the half loaf of bread that he has, and not to bother himself about lakhs." Shama sent the reply which Damu Anna was anxiously waiting for. After reading it, he found that all his hopes and prospects about lakhs of rupees as profit were dashed to the ground. He thought he had done a mistake by consulting Baba. But as Shama had hinted in the reply that there was always much difference in seeing and hearing, and that therefore he should come to Shirdi personally and see Baba, he thought it was advisable to go to Shirdi and consult Baba personally about the affair. So he went to Shirdi, saw Baba, and prostrated himself before him and sat shampooing his legs. He had no courage to ask Baba openly about the speculation, but he thought in his mind that it would be better if some share in the business should be assigned to Baba. And he thought in his mind that if Baba were to help him in this transaction, he would surrender some share of profits to him. Damu Anna was thus thinking secretly in his mind, but nothing was veiled from Baba. Everything, past, present and the future, were clear to him. A child wants sweets, but his mother gives bitter pills. The former spoil his health, while the latter improve it. So the mother, looking to the welfare of her infant, coaxes and gives bitter pills. Baba, kind mother as he was, knew the present and future prospects of his devotees, and therefore, reading Damu Anna's mind, he openly spoke to him, "Bapu, I do not want to be entangled in any such worldly things of sharing profits." On seeing Baba's disapproval, Damu Anna dropped the enterprise. The second speculation, on grain dealing. Damu Anna then thought of trading in rice, wheat and other grains. Baba read this thought too and said to him, "You will be buying at 5 seers and selling at 7 seers a rupee." So this business was also given up. The rise in the price of grains was kept up for some time, and Baba's prophecy seemed to be falsified. But in a month or two, there was abundant rain everywhere, and the prices suddenly fell down, and therefore those who stored grains suffered a severe loss. Damu Anna was saved from this fate. Needless to say, the cotton speculation, which was conducted by the broker with the help of another merchant, also collapsed with a severe loss to the adventurers. After seeing that Baba had saved him from 2 severe losses in cotton and grain speculations, Damu Anna's faith in Baba grew stronger, and he remained a true devotee of Baba till his passing away.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai now brings you an episode of our series Tryst with Divinity, wherein we offer you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. And the guest in this episode is Mr. Krishnadas Eradi, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan from the South Indian state of Kerala, a very gifted singer who has been personally directed, guided and instructed by Bhagwan to lead the bhajans in Prashanthi Nilayam right from the 60s and 70s.
and the moments that he had with Bhagwan are truly revealing. In conversation with Mr. Eradi is Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti, and this was recorded in the studios in March 2013. Over now to the conversation.
Sai Ram, and welcome Mr. Krishnadas Eradi to the studios of Radio Sai. All of us know you as one of the most powerful and lively voices of Prashanthi Nilayam, and you had the chance to come to Bhagwan way back in the 60s, and we know that every decision in your life, be it professional life or personal life, was guided by Bhagwan. And from the time you came to Bhagwan, it is he who actually loved, nurtured, fostered and blessed your voice, and today Sai Kulwant Hall really reverberates with those beautiful vibrations whenever you sing bhajans. So please tell us about your story to Bhagwan, because I know it is a story of inspiration, it is a story of devotion, and it is a story that every Sai devotee should know, because it is all about his story. So please tell us how Bhagwan entered your life.
Om Sri Sai Ram. I too very happy to be here and share some of our personal experience as well as the direction and the instructions, even in the worldly life as well as in the spiritual life, how Swami has elevated in both way in our family. As far as I am concerned, in our family, but Swami is elevating the whole universe.
Actually, yes.
Without knowing, he is elevating. But our entering into the Swami's field, basically, we are from Kerala, Calicut.
Mm-hmm.
And our family is a very big family. We used to have a lot of spiritual discourses in 50s itself, one Divine Life Society under the umbrella of Swami Sivananda Saraswati Rishikesh.
Yes.
My father was a disciple of Swami Sivananda, and as per his direction, we have started Bhagavata discourse, Ramayana discourse, 5 days in every month. So normally we used to put from 25th to 30th and 1st to 5th. So altogether 10 days we will get it. So lot of scholars, then bhajans also.
So this gathering used to happen in your house?
In our house. We have a big, some 200-300 people can accommodate, in a big hall is there.
Wonderful.
In that hall only it we utilize. And that hall was being changed as Samiti in the later days. As Sai Samiti, Satya Sai Seva Samiti, Calicut Samiti was conducted in our house only. Swami visited that particular Samiti also in 1976 and sat on the throne. My father had the good fortune of having the Arati. He was the community.
Amazing.
Because those days we were not devotees in 50s and all.
Yes.
And we have an office, our own office, looking after the properties, rental buildings, so many things. So one of the staff was reading during the lunch time, he was reading one book. My father is also, as you told, you know, very, very spiritual blessing. So he was asking, what is the book you are? Then he told, this is Satyam Shivam Sundaram, about Satya Sai Baba. Satya Sai Baba, who is that? Then he had given that book.
So was that an English book or there was translation?
English
book.
This is in 1960.
Mm.
So it was given. After reading that book, my father was thinking, why can't he just go to Puttaparthi? And those days there was no, I mean, good facilities like, you know, the present
correct
thing. Even the roads also, sometimes we'll have to get down from the car.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, the car will just... But with the greatest difficulty, you know, we reached here. And we spent for 1 or 2 days.
No accommodation facility, nothing here.
We had to lie down at the mandir.
Yes.
That veranda.
Yes.
Those days, you know, we used to have...
Mandir was the accommodation place.
Yes, yes.
Can't even imagine this.
Yes. That is the place. And we came back also. From there, you know, we came back. Somehow or other, you know, my father was very much attracted with that discipline and this thing. I mean, we didn't have any other experience at the first this thing. And it was little, you know, to treat him as God, it took little time for us. Because, you know, this, again, it's Swami's responsibility to take us in his this thing. So that he made some this thing. I was thinking, because we are all Krishna Bhaktas.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna bhajans, even you would have observed, you know,
yes.
I used to sing here more Krishna, more mm-hmm. of Krishna than Shiva or Rama and Zaldi.
Yes.
Because, you know, we belongs to Guruvayur temple and we are the lot of scholars from Krishna, scholars only come and Bhagavata discourse, everything in Krishna only.
Yes.
Krishna cult like that, you know. And I was thinking, one of the trip when we made to Puttaparthi, I had to see him, Swami, as Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Then only I can, have the faith of accept that he is this thing. Just thinking. And those days, you know, there is not much crowd at all. Even in Bhajan, Swami came and sat on the throne.
So this is in the 60s?
Yes, early 60s.
Early 60s.
Early 60s. And you know, you won't believe, when Swami, I was thinking whether I am seeing Krishna,
mm-hmm.
not Swami, whether I am seeing Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Only in that way, my entire mind, Bhajan was going on. Of course, I was interested in Bhajan also. At that time, I came to know one Rajareddy, his name is Rajareddy. He was the only person who was leading the bhajan. And ladies, one Vijaya from Madras, you know, she was singing the bhajan. And I was seeing Swami, whether I am seeing Krishna in Swami.
You are all the time examining that.
Examining. So slowly Swami's color was changed. It has come to the blue color. And I am not seeing his hair and all. Exactly Krishna, just for a moment, he just showed me as Krishna.
Oh my God.
That tears have started coming. That is the moment which Swami transformed me first, actually, to this. Then
that was your first trip?
That was a second trip. First trip, we just came and 2 days we just gone.
Yes.
Afterwards, you know, when Father used to talk about Swami also. But, you know, our usual bhajan and everything was only in that way. So this is a starting. When I saw Swami as Krishna, then, you know, that was convinced to a certain extent I should start coming over here. That is the thing. Even at that time, my brothers also were not that much involved, because afterwards only we have started coming. There's a Shivaratri, then Swami's birthday and all, you know, we were coming.
The famous Iradi brothers came to be known.
Yeah, and 63 when Swami came to Palkad, in fact, the last Thursday, when they put Chittachora in Swami's this thing, I was really crying and tears was coming in on my eyes. Because I was remembering back the olden days, in 63 when Swami visited Palkad, we started singing Chittachora Yashodhana.
First time ever that bhajan was sung.
Bhajan was sung. Because, you know, in Kerala, we are the leaders those days, in 63. I have a photograph also, when Swami was not even 40 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami liked, after the bhajan, Swami came and hugged. Why can't you have a alap also before starting?
Wonderful.
The alap started only after Swami. So, as an instrument, you know, everything Swami's, see, everything comes from Swami's heart. But again, you know, we were the instrument to start Chittachora in front of Swami. Then finally Swami also started singing Chittachora.
Beautiful. So why don't you sing one or two lines of Chittachora?
Chittachora?
Yes.
With alap you want?
Yes. Sure, sir.
Chittachora Yashoda ke ba navanita chor gopa gopa Chittachora Yashoda ke baal Navanita chora Gopal 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 गोपाल गोवर्धन धर गोपाल 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 गोवर्धन धर गोपाल.
अमेजिंग. Whenever you sing this bhajan, I think all those memories of singing this first time in front of Bhagwan to seeing Swami as Krishna, all those memories, yes, perhaps will maybe flood
Swami
your mind.
I would have asked us to sing more than 100 times.
Yes.
In every visit, I can say,
yes,
that much he loves that bhajan when we were singing. I mean, even the students also tell you,
yes,
when you start this bhajan, you know, Swami is, yes, totally. See, that is the only thing we always pray. Swami, whatever we are singing, Swami should be happy with that. Swami should be happy. Swami should be happy. Because that minute perfection Swami is expected from everybody. When you are singing the bhajan, Swami always says during the interviews about the quality of the bhajan, how you have to maintain the stuti, the thalam, the bhava, which has to come from the heart, not from the throat, or not from the mouth, or not from the lips. It has to come from the heart. Then only you will be able to elevate the devotees who are hearing your bhajan. So that we always pray to his lotus feet. Whatever Swami expects from our, it should be like that. You see, our singing should be like that. I don't know how far we have succeeded, but at least still we are trying to reach to Swami's.
Well, every time you sang, you mesmerized the Lord himself. And when Bhagwan is happy, the whole crowd is automatically in a different plane.
Swami was telling in another way, Prithi. When all devotees are totally immersed within, I am happy. That's what Swami says.
Swami said
one of this thing. Because of, I mean, everybody is singing, leading the bhajan. When all are immersed with that bhajan, I can understand how level you are taking with others, this thing. So I am very happy with that. That is why I am always happy when the devotees are happy. After hearing the bhajan. So that is, even though we are not singing for devotees, when we are singing for Swami, the devotees will always be happy.
Happy, automatically.
In that way, indirectly, Swami is also happy.
Yes.
That way, Swami
is always happy only when the devotees are happy.
Yes, yes, that's what.
And we have seen that so many times. I think for Swami it was always like that. When the devotees were happy, he was always happy. We saw that also whenever there was distribution, any distribution, if everybody has got the prasadam of the clothes that was distributed, then Swami is so happy.
Yes, because they are happy. The
yes,
devotees are very happy.
Yeah, wonderful, sir. And it's the same with bhajans. So, how it was from that 1963 visit?
No, 63 visit, I mean, we were not singing, I mean, leading at that time.
That was the first time he heard you.
Must be the first time.
But before that, you were singing devotional songs much before.
In 50s also, we were the leaders in Kerala, bhajan singers, but not Swami's bhajans and all.
Yes.
You know, we were the
other devotional songs.
So many Sharadamba, so many things, Adama Devi from Kananur.
Okay.
So many people used to visit our house and stay there. Sannyasis.
Uh-huh.
So many sannyasis. Even the Shankaracharya, old Periyavar.
Yes.
He has stayed 3 days in our house with all the paraphernalia, like
awesome
horses and everything, you know.
The Paramacharya.
Paramacharya, I'm talking.
Wonderful.
And Kananur, one ashram is there, Ramdas Swamigam. It's a very famous, there's a lot of books are there, even some, I was seeing, somebody was in the veranda, they were reading that book and all. So he was also staying in our.
So your family was always kind of a patron for all spiritual activities.
All spiritual activities. And that is why we know fully that Swami just pulled us to Swami's fold. Yes, this is the right way you are going. And I will show you the ultimate. That's the thing. I mean, I always think like that.
It is kind of the fulfillment for all these.
Yes, for all those things.
Spiritual sadhanas.
Spiritual sadhanas and all.
So from 1963, when Swami heard you, what did he say?
You know, he was, that particular song, you know, he was very happy. Then 67, Swami came to Kerala.
Again?
Kerala and stayed in her brother's house, Justice Eradi's house.
Justice Eradi's house.
3 days. And there, 3 days, we were only singing all the, wherever the bhajan program in public function was there and all. So, even at the last day, Swami was hugging 3 of us together. And Swami told, you have to come to Puttaparthi.
Come to Puttaparthi.
Yes. Then, that Dasara only, Swami told Kasturi, 3 brothers will be coming from Kerala. Ask them to start singing bhajan in front of me.
Beautiful.
So we have not even started from Calicut at that time.
Oh.
Kasturi was inquiring about 3 brothers Swami was mentioning. Yajnam starts on the 3rd day,
Yes.
7 days. That day only we reached. Then somebody told us, Kasturi was inquiring about 3 brothers, why can't you just go and approach him? Then we have gone, Kasturi asked. Then we told him, see, this is the thing, we are 3 brothers. It seems you were inquiring about 3 brothers. Yes, Swami was talking about 3 brothers. Are you the bhajan singers? That is the first question. And we told you are the bhajan. Are you the bhajan leaders? Second question. Yes, we are the bhajan. Since when? Since 53, 54 onwards, we have become the leaders in so many institutions we used to go and sing. Then Kasturi told us, let me ask Swami today evening, whether Swami mentioned you 3 or any other 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then, next day we got the information, yes, we are, that was starting during the Dasara time we have started singing. Then the next time when my youngest brother reached first, I think during Shivaratri time, in the 68 Shivaratri time. At that time, we don't know the rules and regulations, so he was sitting in the last. On that day, Swami came through the last door, the
bhajan hall.
Bhajan hall, the devotees entering.
Yes, yeah.
So there only he was sitting. So when Swami saw him, he just put it like this.
Oh, he twisted his ear.
Made him stand.
Mm.
Then Swami started walking through the center.
Oh.
The same position.
Oh my God, such a loving moment.
Such a loving moment. Till the first row. And told him, every time do you want me to tell that you should sing? He starts singing.
Whenever you come to Parthi, you should sing.
That was the instruction.
Amazing.
That was our, actually the most fortunate recognition we got. See, I used to consider this is the highest recognition we got for the last 45, 46 years. Not even a single day, Swami has not made us out.
Yes.
Always keeping us in the same.
Yes.
And had the
amazing
of
And even now also, even after so many years, your voice is still as vibrant.
Because of Swami's
grace. Wonderful, sir. So how was it from then on? I think you started singing and you started coming to Prashanthi Nilayam. Tell us about those olden days. How was it in Prashanthi Nilayam?
Prashanthi Nilayam, as you know, there is no much crowd and all. We have started coming for all the this thing. I mean, at that time, I told you, one Rajareddy, Mohan Rao also, one of the lead singer from late 50s, I was told. 59 onwards, he was started singing. Whenever he comes, he was working in a lower divisional clerk in railways, staying in Madras, Ayanaviram. And we used to come for all the functions. So, Rajareddy will get little this thing when we are coming. He will get
some respite.
Yes, when we are.
Because otherwise he is the only person singing.
Otherwise he was the only person to sing continuously. And one day I'll tell you a small incident that has happened. One day we were just talking after the morning bhajan with Mohan Rao and all. Suppose Rajareddy is not able to come one day due to illness, or suppose he wanted to go back. To his native place in Bombay. Who is going to manage the show, bhajan and all? They're just talking like that, in a casual talk. Next day, Swami called for an interview. So Swami was just talking so many things. All of a sudden, Swami became very serious. Then Swami started telling, yesterday you people were breaking your head. Who will manage the bhajan here if Rajareddy is not there? Swami told, a day will come, students have to wait to get a chance to sing in front of me. Then Swami told, why students? All the world-renowned singers, artists, have to wait to get a chance to in front of me, to get a chance. See, we were thinking, yes, world-renowned artists I can understand, but where is the question of students? Because that time there was no student. I mean, in ashram we can't expect the students.
60s.
At all, you know.
Yeah.
So just see the Swami's sankalpa. After so many years, colleges started, universities started, students have started coming, and we cannot ask how the students will come. But you know, afterwards we came to know students are waiting for a chance. Even artists also in the
waiting for a chance.
See, whatever he says, you know, it comes true. Swami was telling, I have only one tongue, and that tongue will talk only truth.
Yes.
That's a, so that.
So you were witness to that declaration, that prophetic declaration, and you have seen it happen.
Yes, seen it happening. So many ways.
Amazing. So how was it at that time, the mandir schedule?
Mandir schedule was 11 to 12 is the bhajan schedule. Morning 11 o'clock. Then before starting the bhajan itself, Swami will finish his lunch, then only come for the this thing. 11 to 12. And evening 7 to 8. That is the schedule. And we'll hardly, even for an interview also, I still remember Mohan Rao used to say, before coming the electricity, Swami used to keep a Ramdal, that
Petromax lamp.
Not Petromax. Ordinary, we call it as a Ramdal.
Mm-hmm. Lantern.
Lantern, yeah, maybe in English, lantern. And we talk in Malayalam, Ramdal.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that he will bring. In the evening time, there will be no this thing. Anybody is there for giving interview. Morning and evening, three times he used to give interview.
Mm.
And almost everybody will get, in the course of three times, morning and evening, they will get an interview in every day.
So anyone who came to Prashant Nilayam was blessed with an interview.
With the interview. That is a... And that there is no second room interview room. You know, Swami used to stand in the... See, there is a second room going to the upstairs.
Yes.
So Swami used to stand in the...
In the stairs.
In the stairs.
Yes.
In the stairs. There will be
a curtain.
A curtain. Yes. And Swami will talk from the other room and we will be standing in this room. That is the procedure. Not even an interview room or something like that. It was very, I mean, amazing. So in those days it was...
Facilities are so rudimentary at that time.
And it's so fascinating, Swami. Sometimes, you know, we used to call us upstairs, give money...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, telling something good things, some spiritual things, you know, that privilege we were getting those days.
Yeah, can you please dwell a little more on those moments? Because at that time you had so much time of Bhagwan and he probably gave you so many lessons of life about how to lead a spiritual life, about how to shape your life as per his directions and his guidelines. Do you remember any interactions that you had with Swami during those times?
See, Swami, once about the bhajan only I'm talking.
Yes, because that is what really brought you close to Bhagwan.
Yes, yes. So the how you should lead the bhajan. Bhajan, what is the purpose of the bhajan? Why bhajan? What for bhajan? All these things Swami was telling. The perfection in the Shruti, as I told you earlier, I still remember during an Onam festival, two tabla artists were there. And the mic is only for one tabla. The second tabla, even though he is playing, there is no mic. So inside the mandir only the Onam celebration, the earlier days. And Swami just told me, the second tabla which is, well, there is no mic, let him stop playing. So we were not understanding. Swami told Shruti Sherile. Shruti is not...
Second tabla Shruti is not
tabla Shruti
proper.
Is not. So after the bhajan we were just checking. There's a hairline difference. Just imagine the Shruti which is in the mic. That is correct. Swami is pointing out where there is no mic, even that, but he is telling the hairline difference of the Shruti in that mic. So you just imagine how minutely Swami is, giving concentration on the perfection of the bhajan. That is the most important thing. And I don't know whether I have told you one incident regarding the quality only, Swami is telling. Nagar Sankirtan during, 5-10 people will be singing together, students who will be singing. One day Swami called Mohan Rao to the veranda and told, such and such a boy sang during the, when he was singing in the canteen side.
Mm-hmm. When the Naga Sankirtan party was crossing the canteen.
Crossing the canteen side, that boy was not keeping the same shruti like others were singing. So let him practice and sing only after 6 months. Let him be 100% sure about the shruti, then only let him. See how much importance.
And that too, this is Naga Sankirtan.
That too, Naga Sankirtan, 10 people are singing. And even actually, Mondra was telling, he noticed and he told that boy also. Immediately after Naga Sankirtan, he told. But that was, instruction came on the same day morning. Swami called and told, let him lead the bhajan only after 6 months. By that time, you know, he should be thorough, the shruti. So how Swami wanted, when people are singing, how much Swami is concerned about the perfection of the singing. That's what I always say. There are so many other things also. So, 100 people should say that you should lead the bhajan, then only you are qualified. Because that 100 people will have the feeling that they are elevating themselves when they hear your this thing. Sometimes, you know, we used to say, oh, that man is not singing, you know, they will not get concentration. He is a bathroom singer, that's what Swami says. He has to study, he has to learn, everything he has to do in a perfection, then only you are entitled to. So, I used to tell the students also, they are all very lucky to get a chance to sing before Swami, because unless Swami's sangalpa, you won't sit and sing here, is it not? So that perfection, you have already got it. Still, I remember one incident in M.S. Subbalakshmi, one of the ladies' day, those days. I don't remember the year and all, but I remember the incident. Ladies' day, when there was no program that M.S. Subbalakshmi will talk on the mic. But after some lady talked, the next lady has to come. In between, Swami called M.S. Subbalakshmi, like that he called from the throne, come here. Then the two girls have just helped her. By that time, Swami himself came down and he asked the girls to go back, and he himself has taken to...
Her hand and took her to the stage.
You talk something. Then M.S. Subbalakshmi started, Swami, one call. You know, we were all crying with that call itself. Swami, I don't know anything. Yes, I'm a music scholar. I have traveled all over the world and sang. But Swami, my knees are shivering when I sing before you, because you are the God of God. I don't know, I am still in the elementary thing in front of you. So my see, who is talking? The authority in Carnatic music, that lady is telling, my knees are shivering to sing in front of you. So what about our, I'm also like a student like you only, because you know,
yes.
How much we have to take care. Authorities are talking like that.
Yes.
And so many artists.
That's because they have always seen, like, Swami even physically was such a meticulous musician.
Yes.
So you had all these training from Swami about singing all the while.
One more incident I was thinking, when T.M. Soundararajan is a Tamil, he's a playback singer. He's a hardened devotee of Swami. He had a few chances to sing before Swami. When T.M. Soundararajan had some program in Bangalore, he visited Whitefield on Sunday. So Swami came while darshan, during darshan time. Sunday, you know, every Sunday when Swami is there, Akhand Bhajan will be there.
Yes.
From morning till evening. So during bhajan, evening time, Swami came and saw Soundararajan and told him, you go front and start singing. And Soundararajan, with most humble way, you know, he just gone and he went. And everybody knows this, so he went during that bhajan time, you know, Swami was giving darshan. And after darshan, he came and sat on that day, that, what is Sairam shed is there, you know.
Yes.
That round.
Yes, at that
tree,
time, yeah.
Big tree.
Before the Shai Kishan.
Yes.
Yes, before the Sai Ramesh Hall.
Before the Sai Ramesh Hall.
Yes.
Sairam shed was there.
Yeah.
And after Swami sat on the throne, ladies were singing at that time. Swami, after the lady sing, Swami told, you see, he took an alap. Shall I take that alap?
Sure.
Karmegha kannanai pole,
காளை முருகனை போலே.
Like that he stuttered, immediately Swami told, stop. See, pin drop silence. When Alap stuttered, you can just imagine the pinna. Swami told, stop. Swami told in Tamil, Ennada ni pole pole sollaru in Jnanaru. That means, you're telling that I am like Krishna, I am like Murugan, then who am I?
Oh my God.
That is a question Swami too asked. Then immediately he told, Swami, when he apologized. And immediately he changed the words at that time.
Karmega kannanam niye, kalai muruganam niye.
See, when that started, the Swami was in a very total bliss. He's making us understand that I am not like Krishna, I am not like
you are myself. Muruga, you are Krishna.
Yes, I am Krishna. See, this is a lesson which we have to, you know, we always make mistakes like this. So at that time, sometimes he had to correct us.
Yes.
And this is one of the opportunity which he told me afterwards.
He personally told you.
He personally told us.
Wonderful.
So like that, so many incidents, you know, with Rajareddy and Mohan Rao, we are associated so much. Mohan Rao, as I told you, he was only a lower divisional clerk in railways. He stays in Ayanavaram. There is only one room is the house, as drawing room, as dining hall, as bedroom, as everything. One room, one kitchen and one bathroom. This is a quarters, railway quarters. You know the railway quarters like will be like that. And he is the person who does bhajan 365 days in the evening.
Yes.
7 to 8.
Yes.
Whenever I was in Madras in 1970-71 and all, every Thursday and Sunday I used to go. Even my younger brother who is in Madras, both of us will go. People will come.
So even though it is one small, one room house.
One room.
Every day you should have bhajans.
And there will be no space also. In that room full. And outside also they have to
spill over.
Spill over. In that way. Thursday, Sunday, definitely yes, it is like that. So we three used to lead the bhajan Thursdays and Sundays. Otherwise Mohan Rao and some ladies are also there. They will also lead the bhajan in that way.
That was his love for bhajans and love for Swami.
Love for Swami. And when Swami visited Gindi, Mohan Rao was leading the bhajan in Gindi. He himself told me, I was also not physically witness for that. He was telling the story, what has happened at that time. Rajareddy used to drive the car. And Swami used to stay in Venkatamani's house.
Yes.
Those days. We used to go to Venkatamani's house also when Swami was there. And after the Gindi program, he was to go back to Venkatamani's house, evening. Mohan Rao was leading after the Arati and all, you know. Swami just came out and took the car. Rajareddy was driving. When a certain point came, instead of going straight, Swami told right. Turn right. Rajareddy is not knowing where Swami is going. Then Swami used to guide right, left, straight, like that, you know. The car reached the Ayanavaram. Ayanavaram quarters, it gone. Quarters, then Swami again guided and reached in front of one small house. Rajareddy doesn't know this is whose house at that time. He know Mohan Rao, but he doesn't know Mohan Rao's house in front of bhajan was going on. Because 365 days, Mohan Rao is not there. Ladies were singing the bhajan at that time. Swami got into that house. Everybody was surprising. Are we seeing real Swami or are we in a dream or something like that? Swami entered and sat. There was a throne was there. Swami sat on the throne. One bhajan Swami heard. And afterwards, Arati Swami told to take Arati. Swami took some tirtham and distributed to everybody. Swami told, tell Mohan Rao that I have visited this house. Tell Mohan Rao. Because he has not reached. He has to take a bus and come. He has to take a bus and come. He has not reached. Only the fortune, his missus and the other ladies got that fortune. One or two bhajans he sat and given all the prasad and gone. Then, by the time Mohan Rao reached after 1 hour, his missus told, Swami was here for 10 minutes. Then immediately, because you know, he is coming from, Swami is this thing. How can Swami come? I am coming from this thing.
Gindi.
Told
yes,
the entire story. Mohan Rao started crying and had the padamskar of his missus. He said, now you are great. I couldn't be here in that. See how much Swami is loving. That love, even Raja Reddy was not knowing. Then afterwards Raja Reddy is telling, you are unfortunate. We were there in your house for 10 minutes. Swami was there. See this.
This is so fantastic, so out of the world. I mean, this reminds me of that story that Professor Kasturi has written about how Swami went to the house of a cobbler in, I don't know if that was in Mumbai or where. And Swami went to the house of a cobbler.
Oh.
Because that cobbler saw Swami in a big hall and he had this interest, so he wanted to offer Swami something. So he offered a garland, which is almost a dried garland, and somehow he had that courage and he told Swami, please come to my house. And Swami told, yes, I will come. That trip Swami didn't come and everyone thought that Swami has forgotten. But after a couple of months and years, suddenly one day Swami landed up in front of the cobbler's house. And this is like so amazing. Like he used to always say, I mean, he is Bhava Priya. It is just their feeling in the intensity of their love for Swami. And the perseverance with which they are doing the sadhana of bhajans.
See, one more important, I am just remembering now with Mohan Rao during the interview, Mohan Rao was telling me, Swami used to talk in the discourses, wherever the bhajan is there, I am there.
Yes. Wherever bhajans are sung, I am there.
I am there. So, in one of the interviews, himself and his missus, when called for interview, you have any questions to ask, Swami just asked. Swami, I have a question, but Swami should not get angry when I ask that. And Swami, no, you have all the freedom to ask. Then he told the same sentence. Swami, you know very well, I am singing 365 days. I know that. I am hearing also, daily I am hearing. But this outside eye, but this, we are not seeing you. At least will you be able to tell me some incident or something to prove that you are hearing our bhajan. So Swami just smiled. Yes, I will tell you, but you should recollect that. Swami told, some 5-6 years back, there was a heavy rain started in the morning. Nobody could go to office and the rain continued till night without any stop. And nobody could move on. You have also not gone to the office and on. And water also in a, everywhere water, roads are not seen. And you remember one incident happened some 5-6 years back. Yes, Swami. See, that day also you have contacted bhajan. Nobody else was there, yourself and your missus. You always put one garland to me. That day garland has not come because of the water. You remember. Then your missus, Amma, you remember? You told that how can we start bhajan without putting a garland on my neck? You have asked Mohan Rao, is it not? Yes, Swami. Just before starting the Omkaram, one old man brought the garland. You remember? And you put the garland, you started the bhajan. I myself has brought, Swami told.
Oh my God.
I myself has brought. Then Swami told, it is my duty to fulfill your desire, Bhakta's desire. Because you wanted to put the garland, then start bhajan. I myself, with that heavy rain, I came and handed over this thing. See, this is how much we have to learn. Whatever it is in our mind, in the good things I am always telling. So, in
yes.
All the good things, good thoughts, good talking, Swami is hearing everything. And Swami will give you all the assistance also. Now, Swami himself has come in the old man forms and given. So, this is a lesson for all of us. Whatever we are doing in our house, wherever we are singing in the Samadhi or Calcutta or any other thing, we have to think that Swami is sitting. Even now I always say, Swami's physical presence only now is not there, but Swami is there, Swami is hearing, Swami is giving direction to us. That feeling should be there. See, that's what Swami always say. Even though Swami, when Swami's physical presence, Swami cannot be having the physical presence all over the world, he will be in Puttaparthi. But he is hearing. He is there and he is hearing. So wherever we are singing, the perfection, the minutest perfection, we should always have in our mind while singing the bhajan. And everybody should have that awareness. That's always Swami says. Awareness is most important. How awareness will come? From the faith. That if faith is there, you know, when Swami's physical presence is there, how you will behave? That behave should be there always in your life. Because I am there.
Because he is very much there. And during his physical sojourn, he gave so many instances.
So many instances.
To prove this.
To prove this.
How was your life after you came to Bhagwan, sir? Apart from singing, how was he directing your life?
See, I was working in a company called TCR Corporation, which is a quality inspection department for the exports and imports commodities. I worked for 26 years. And this office is all over India, and even in abroad also, because, you know, our inspection for the exports and imports commodities like ores, oils, chemicals and all. So I got a promotion in 1973 when I was in Madras, and I had to join duty in Bellary office.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bellary manager had to go to Goa.
Okay.
So within 10 days I had to join Bellary. So I told my boss, I'm going as a manager, the promotion only. I would like to get blessings from Swami. Then from Puttaparthi, I will go to my parents, get blessings from them also, then come back and go to Bellary. So he told, all right. I came here. Next day morning, when darshan time, Swami asked me, when are you going back? Then I told Swami, tomorrow morning. Tomorrow you are going? Like that, you know, he just trying to slap. Then immediately I told Swami, whenever you say, you command, then only I will go, otherwise. Then Swami was very happy. Swami was very happy. You know, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 6 day, 7 days, it goes on. 10 days it was
going. He's not giving you permission to go.
Suppose, yes, he has not told me when I had to go. 10 days means 10 days I am supposed to take charge of Bellary office. And those days, you know, there is no mobile phone or even to get in the common place here, that telephone booth, if you go, you know, you have to wait for hours.
I know. There's only one telephone and it should be so difficult to get a chance to make a call.
Yes, yes. So, then sending a telegram, that is the only way, sending a telegram. Unexpectedly, I'm here in Patti, I couldn't move like that, you know. So, one sentence I used to send. 2-3 telegrams I sent, but how many telegrams I can send? I went to and told Kasturi, this is the thing, I have to join today at Bellary. So at least if you can just put a word to Swami. Kasturi told, no, I cannot, because Swami has specifically asked you, when are you going? And you have very specifically told that whenever you command, I will go. So how can I interfere? Is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, I cannot.
You have already told Bhagwan that whenever you say, I will go.
I will go.
So how can you again ask him?
So how can I interfere in that? Then he may ask, who are you to interfere in this? You know, so I don't want to. Don't worry, nothing will happen for you. Swami is there to protect you. There will be something. See, during those days, I was having severe liver problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was not supposed to take any oily matter, and fortunately I was staying at Madras in my sister's house, my elder sister's house, and she was looking after very much the food and all. So without, only at that time only I got this. So I was thinking, I was not married also at that time, I was bachelor at that time. So how will manage at Bellary?
So you want to go to Bellary and you have to look after your own food.
Yes, my own food.
And
all those.
Managing with all these restrictions.
Yes,
will be very difficult.
Restrictions is very difficult and all, you know. Those things. And 12th day, I have written a letter to Swami and put it in my puja, Swami's photo. Swami, you please ask me to get out from Prasabhinarya. I am 100% sure I would have lost my job. Then I had to try for some other, or at least I have to, something, you know, you can just imagine.
I know, really worried about what will happen to the future, because you're losing a job.
And all, you know, I was very young at that time, getting a promotion, that's
yes.
That letter I have written, Swami asked.
So you left it in the room?
I left in the room, but when coming for the bhajan, I took that, I just given Swami.
You gave Swami that
I
letter?
I gave letter. Asking me to get out from that.
So you told Swami, please ask me to get out.
Get out. But instead of that, Swami told, you get in.
Oh my God. Get into the interview room.
Get into the interview room.
Okay.
So I was very happy. I was very happy with the interview also. Then lastly, so many incidents happened. And lastly, I was about to say, Swami, I have a liver. I have not told liver completely. Like that, you know, I just... By that time, Swami started talking. You have a severe liver complaint. Dr. Nagarajan, who is the father of Ramani, the president.
He's the current vice president of All India Organization.
All India. He is so much affectionate to me.
Well, that time he was the state president of the organization.
Who?
Mr. Nagarajan.
No. But
he is a devotee.
Nagarajan is a very close, physically very close devotee of Swami. Swami yes. daily calls him inside. So one Nagarajan, one Dr. Hegde and another Puncha. He was the director in Vijaya Bank.
Yes.
Swami always calls three mosquitoes. Where are the three mosquitoes? Wait only, Swami. Nagarajan was very much affectionate to me. Of course, Puncha and these people also. So he had consulted, through him only he has talked to one doctor and with the consultation of Nagarajan, you know, he was giving injection to me, some medicines and everything.
In Puttaparthi?
No, in Madras.
In Madras. You were taking that medication under the guidance of Mr. Nagarajan.
Nagarajan. Everything Swami took.
Swami started mentioning about all this.
Everything all
You took. Just mentioned Lee.
Lee, that is all, not even liver. And Swami started the thing, Dr. Nagarajan's, this thing, you are taking this injection, this medicine you are taking and everything. Then immediately Swami materialized Vibhuti and given to me. Then I just kept like this. No, you take full now. Then I was taking full at that time. No more liver complaint. That's what Swami told. This has happened in 73, now 40 years over now. Even now when I am having a general checkup of my, this thing, liver is perfect.
Fantastic.
Absolutely no.
No liver problem from then.
No liver problem from that day onwards.
So you are eating everything.
So eating everything. Now I am eating everything. And I mean...
And you are past 70 now.
Now 71.
Oh my God.
So, and you know, the 12 days I was taking food from canteen.
Yes.
Canteen, all the oils, everything was there. I was thinking myself, why Swami has kept me for 12 days? Because that's the prasadam which I used to have from canteen. Lot of oil, masala dosa, morning dosa, everything will be there in everything. But I can't restrict myself, you know, there is, what other food? You know, there is no other food
yes.
other than...
In those days especially.
Those days.
No other option you had.
No other option we had to go. But that's the prasadam.
Yes.
That also Swami gave us a lesson. See, 12 days you have taken my prasadam and I have made it all right. Your entire body, I have made it all right. And finally, with Swami's blessings, no more liver complaint. Till date, I don't have any liver complaint.
Absolutely amazing, sir. So you got your job also back?
That's another this thing. If I talk, you know, it will take another 15 minutes.
Oh my God.
You know what Swami told? Afterwards, this is in April or May. Swami told, you bring all your family members during Onan time. But after I take charge of Bellary, how can I get leave first of all? And it's an unknown place. I have a lot of responsibilities. There's a laboratory also, chemist, so many things I have to, quite fresh. I don't know what to do. Thinking that I'll be getting, that is a thing. You know, my this thing was, I lost the job and all. Going back to the regional office at Madras, I was very much, reluctant to go to my boss. And then finally I went. I told the whole story to boss. And he has not told me when I had to go to Bellary.
Oh, okay.
Then again, problem. But what to do? It was reluctant for me, what should I do? I had not asked also. Because of, you know, I myself was thinking, you know, and I came to know that manager has already, Bellary manager has already gone to Goa and taken charge. And he has not asked me to go.
So this, now the Chennai manager is not asking you to go to Bellary?
No, he has not asked me to go to Bellary. And I told this is the thing, and Swami asked me to take my family, my parents, my brothers to, during Onan time. Okay, you can do it. So I thought, you know, there is something mess. Without working, because you know, from here they have relieved me. In the sense, you know, I don't have any work here in Madras. I was just coming the morning 9:30 up to 5:30. I used to sit helping somebody, if asking any finance or any other thing, you know, they will just help, that's all. But there is no responsible work for me in Madras because, you know, they have already made it. But salary I was getting.
Oh.
Yeah. 1 month over. Onam time again I asked. Then we have gone to Onam. For Onam purpose, I have taken my parents and everything. Swami was very happy. 1 week I was there. During that time, Swami called the parents and called us also. Then Swami immediately asked, what is the salary you are getting? He asked me. Then I told, see, at that time 350 rupees, my salary. And my brothers also told, everybody asked. Then Swami, how can you manage a family life in this amount? Then we told Swami, we don't want family life, we want to serve you only. No. You should have a family life. Immediately he turned to the parents, told, from this day onwards, these three boys are not your children, my children. I'll look after you, don't worry.
Oh my God.
That is the word Swami told.
Amazing.
And you don't believe, sir, within 1 year, I got this, so many things, you know, so many benefits I've got it. Even all the this thing, you know, one by one, prosperity in the worldly life. And after that, Swami told, last month, this boy was with me for 12 days. Now for 1 week, Dasara also, if you can come, you come. Swami is telling, even for Dasara, next is Dasara, you know, after Onam, Dasara.
Yes.
See, if you can come, you come for Dasara. I told Swami, definitely I'll come. Dasara, 10 days we were there. No work in the office.
You're getting a salary.
You're getting a salary.
Oh my God.
Every first. I'm attending regularly all the bhajans and the Swami's activities.
You're doing Swami's work and following Swami's instructions, Swami is giving you salary.
Salary. Without doing any work.
Good.
After Dasara, see, those days Swami used to, I mean, with so much of love, birthday ki varaya, like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Swami, definitely I'll come for birthday. So birthday also we have attended. And like that, you know, it goes on up to next April without doing any work.
Oh my God.
nearly 9 months, 10 months, you know. I was in Madras.
So your manager was okay with this?
He is not asking me to go anywhere. That is a problem. Neither he is not asking me to go anywhere. Nor he is not giving any work here also. So I was in a really...
And he's happy to pay you salaries also.
But you know, then again our...
I know, you are not feeling well. But that is the way Swami had worked.
Swami had worked in that way. Then in the 74, in the month of April, my boss called me inside. You have to take charge of Cochin instead of Bellary. Now you don't say that you have to go get blessings. You have enough blessings.
1 year you have had.
You have enough blessings for the last this thing. Directly. Air ticket. He has bought the air ticket for me also. The air ticket. Go. Now you don't take all the samans and all, you know. Just go there. After 10 days, 15 days, you know, settle yourself and come back. Then you slowly take all the samans and all. There, you know, what are all the things the company had given? Company quarters for me to stay, free electricity, free water, free maid servant, free paper, everything. Because as a manager, you know, we are getting all the perquisites.
Mm-hmm.
How Swami was telling? And during that time, Swami also in the meantime, Swami told to look after the thing. You don't see the girls at all. I will select the girl. You don't select the girl. I will select the girl for you. In that way, Swami told. Even that is also, I have not seen my wife before my marriage. Only at the time of marriage only. Swami has selected. Yes, that is the thing. Everything Swami has. First Swami told he will conduct in Puttaparthi itself. And afterwards Swami told, in our, I told you, is a big family. Even our own other sisters and brothers are not the devotees of Swami. Nor my father's brothers, sisters, and they are not. Even though it's a big family, they are not the devotees of Swami. So, the last, that processing, you know, marriage process, Swami, after selecting everything, Swami told, instead of conducting a prasandinaryam, no relatives will come here to attend his marriage. So, let him attend in his place. After the marriage, ask them to come over.
So, let the marriage be in your place and you can come here after.
Come after, then I will bless everybody. That was what Swami told Kasturi. Then Kasturi came and told her. gave me all the, marriage, wedding, sari, wedding, everything Swami has given at that time. We have taken that and, marriage was in law. But that's what I'm telling. In every step, Swami was guiding us what to do, what not to do, how to do, when to do, all those things. Then afterwards, Swami gave us an interview. What is marriage? Marriage is not what we are thinking in our this thing. Swami was telling in a very different way. Sacrifice starts from the moment you married. Because, till yesterday, your love towards parents and sisters and brothers, from today after the marriage, your love spread to your wife, sisters, brothers, parents, and all. Those sacrifices started. Then attachment to more people, that doesn't mean that this love will slow. See, love cannot be measured. It cannot be measured. So you are starting your sacrifice. And so many other things, points. What is understanding? I don't remember so many things as those days Swami has given. How to live a married life, which everybody should be happy in your family with your wives. It is your duty to make her understand also that your parents also have been looked, should be looked after by the other thing. No, whenever you are more concerned about, see, that is what Swami is doing, is it not? In Prasandanariyam, Swami is very much concerned about the devotees, in what best I can give to the devotees. That is the thing, Swami. The same thing Swami is telling. If you are more concerned about others, you will have 100 people to look after you. But for the sake of, people will be looking after when I say, that mind should not...
Love should be natural, and expanding.
Yes, expanding. You should expand the love. Then, people will start loving. When you start loving everybody, there is no limitation. The power of love is almost telling. The power of love. So much is there. Swami was telling, I don't have any miracle. The miracle Swami, one Swami was telling, how much time I am spending with you people in a day? 24 hours. Morning 2 hours, evening 2 hours, those days. Is it not? Swami will come 6:45, 7 o'clock. Bhajan will be over. Then afterwards Swami will go. And evening also Swami. And even when Swami is mingling with the Swami, how much Swami is talking? Maximum, when did you come? Or how many persons are there? We all know, is it not?
Yes.
Swami is not talking much. Miracle is not making some lingam or making or something vibhuti or something. That is not miracle. How much time I am spending in a day alone and upstairs? You know very well, when Swami goes upstairs, nobody is supposed to go.
Yes.
Swami will be alone. Out of 24 hours, 18 to 19 hours Swami will be alone. And with that, how many things are spreading every day? His activities are multiplying in India, started abroad. I have not gone anywhere. People have started coming to see me. I have not invited anybody. People are coming. That is miracle. Sitting alone in the upstairs and making all the... In fact, you are all the instruments. And so many people are working here. It is a headache for me when you are... You think that you are doing lot of service here. One day Swami called in Mandir all the inmates.
Inmates of the ashram.
Inmates of the ashram. There is a circular that Swami wanted to talk to inmates. And we were all there by 2 o'clock. Swami came, asked as usual, all the doors and the windows closed. And he asked Kudumbarao to start talking. Kudumbarao told, Swami is very happy. Devotees like you people living all your comforts, because those days there is no much comforts at all. And relatives, friends and everything, and coming here over and doing lot of service and all. But one thing, Swami is not happy. After coming over here, you are making more friends. And the ladies are also chit-chatting, loose talks. See, this is an ashram. Swami is expecting much, much higher level from the devotees who are. So that way, and nobody is doing for Swami. That word he used. Immediately Swami told, you stop. Then Swami started talking. Whatever he told is correct, but the last sentence, nobody is doing work for Swami. Nobody needs to work for Swami.
Swami mentioned.
Nobody needs to work for Swami. Remember that I am giving you an opportunity for you, everybody, in different fields. And then Swami, the second sentence Swami was telling, in fact, I am having 100 headaches because you people are doing all the wrong things and I have to rectify it. Without mentioning anything, I have to rectify myself. If nobody is there, you know, I would have maintained 100 times better than that. Nobody. See, this is
the... So we think that we are doing anything for his mission. We are saying you are creating more problems for my mission.
2-3 places Swami has told like that. See, I don't have any organization. You have made the organization. But the thing is, you know, what for you are making all those things? Don't think that you are sacrificing your life for Swami. No. Swami started talking one Ramayana Kada. Everybody knows. But you know, when Swami says that, then we will understand the depth of the thing which Swami told. Sri Rama knows very well that tomorrow that Abhishekam will not be this. Everything Sri Rama knows.
That he will not be coronated as the king.
Yes, but Sri Rama will not act that he knows everything, you know, as an ordinary person. So next day this was not sent to
back forest.
Forest. And forest, Sita lost. He knows who have taken, who has come, where she is. Everything is there. But what Sri Rama have done, as if he doesn't know anything, he utilized right from squirrels to Hanuman.
Yes.
To do service. That is the most important thing. To do service. They were all instrument to do the service. Finally got back. But everything he knows where to go to get Sita is not a big problem for Sri Rama. You need only a fraction of a second.
As one
Sankalpa, Sita will come and he has not done it. Like that, I am also giving an opportunity to you people to do service for yourself, not for Swami. That you should understand. It's a very important lesson, sir, we have to. I mean, of course.
Yes, I think.
We have to understand that we are doing this, we are doing that, we are doing. No, we are not doing. Swami is giving me an opportunity as an instrument to do state president, district president, organization, Balivikas, Guru, everything. How we are fortunate to be under his umbrella and get all those things. And we should not feel that we are doing. That's a thing which Swami has made us a lesson. I think I am going out of...
No, I think all these things that you mentioned, which are the important tenets that Swami wanted all of us to inculcate, and it is good you share, because these are the things that we should reiterate to ourselves every time we are engaged in Swami's work, whether we do a bhajan or whether we do a service. We can never ever do anything for the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to be of some use, and I'm really happy that you shared this. I know there is so much more that we have to hear from you. And it would be very nice also if your brother is there next time you are in the studios. But I'm really so happy, sir, that you could come to the studio. Please do come to the studio again and let us have this chance of continuing this satsang.
Definitely. Very kind of you. I'm so much thankful to you also. You know, only during this discussion only we will also, you know, get all these memories, old memories coming into our mind. And that is, you know, we are cementing ourselves to develop our, how to improve ourselves.
Yes.
You know, that's the most important thing.
Towards that goal.
Towards the goal. Towards the goal.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
You were listening to a conversation with Mr. Krishnadas Eradi, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan from the South Indian state of Kerala. Mr. Eradi came to Bhagwan in the 60s, and since then he has been guided by Bhagwan physically in every aspect of his life, and most importantly blessed with a powerful voice. As you heard, he had the opportunity to sing in Baba's presence for decades and was fortunate to be personally instructed and directed by Bhagwan regarding bhajan singing. This conversation was recorded in Prashantinilayam in March 2013 and was yet another episode of our series Tryst with Divinity, offering you conversations with people who have been touched by His love. And In Conversation with Mr. Eradi was Radio Sai's Bishu Prashti. Thank you so much for being with us, and if you have any comments or suggestions, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. It's me, Team Radio Sai Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with his segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.